Welcome to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. I'm your host, Kevin S. Fox, coming to you from Studio B at Radio Fabrik in Salzburg, Austria. What if in the center of your world map you found Australia, or Patagonia, or Antarctica? Would that produce some cognitive dissonance? Would that shake up the way you think about your world? Tonight, we explore that idea with the creator of the world map generator, Julia Mia Sterneman, who comes to us from Switzerland. Julia Mia Sterneman is a graphic designer, an artistic researcher, and a free thinker. She challenges viewpoints and likes to contemplate the world upside down and call into question the general scheme of things. She works in cartographics, a new discipline she has herself created, where she brings together graphic design, cartography, research, and the arts. Her work concerns world maps and world views, and she's developed with a team of people a software that helps the online user create and generate an unconventional world map. Go to www.worldmapgenerator.com and you'll see the fruits of that work. An interesting project not just for students of geography and learning about projections, but for anyone who's wondering what the world would look like with someplace else in the center. She is in the process of completing a PhD at the Bern University of Applied Sciences in Visual Communication, but also in cooperation with the Institute of Art History at the University of Bern and the Department of Geography at the University of Zurich. She has several years of work experience as a graphic designer and today runs her own design studio. She joins us via Skype from her atelier. Curious, which came first? I mean, so if we think of it in terms of your degrees, what was your first degree and your bachelor's degree? Was it in art or art history or?
No. I'm a graphic designer.
So that's your first.
I was very young when I started with that. So on. I mean, all the time when I start to do something, I start with sketches and I start to draw. So the academic, my academic research came later in my career. Yeah, that's for sure.
So graphic design, what kinds of things were you doing? I mean, was it initially this involvement with maps or did that come later? Were you doing other things first?
No, in the beginning I worked as a normal print designer and then a bit web design as well. So that means I made a lot of editorial design, typography, flyers, logos, posters, and I still do it. And I like this work very much. So it's like the classical graphic design. I started like that with classical graphic design.
Right. And then when did maps come into this? And I guess the other question too is, have you ever formally studied geography? It doesn't sound like you have a degree in it, but was there a formal study of geography?
No. But I learned a lot for myself because after a while I had to understand this whole thing with this projections, for example. So I had a lot to learn for myself, but I mean, it came with when I started to concern about maps, and that was actually in my master. Uh-huh. I did that in in University of Applied Sciences in Bern, and once I was there in an internship in London, and then I did my first project, and it was a generative graphic project, and so I came in touch with this with cartography the first time, and the initial point for my work in the end, the world map generator, was during the master when I was looking for illustrations for the British Empire, and I wanted to depict the world from different viewpoints, and yeah, I was looking for this material and it did not exist, so that's how it started.
Huh. So you were looking for material about the British Empire and the extent of the empire. What other perspective or what other viewpoint did you want to represent? The colonized, or?
Yeah, exactly. And there were some little narratives or stories from all around the world. And then I had the idea, for me, it was quite logical that I could depict the world from, also with a different image center, geographical area.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to the ETH, that's the University of Technology here in Zurich in Switzerland.
Uh-huh.
To ask for these maps, and that was quite interesting because at this time I did not have this vocabulary, and I tried to explain what I wanted, and they thought, okay, we do not understand her, but they really tried to help me, and so I understood that there is a point to go on with this topic, and yeah, actually that was the initial point to start my research.
Did you ask them if they had maps of other perspectives? Is that kind of, or from other perspectives?
I can't remember exactly how I asked for it, but I mean, in the end I was looking for maps with any desired geographical area in the image center combined with any desired projection, so that's what I needed. But it sounded a bit different when I tried to explain that.
Right, not having sort of the like you said, the vocabulary of cartography, the whole sort of science of cartography. How does your artistic sort of background come in? I mean, is your artistic way approach to map making, you know, because the maps you're asking for at this organization or at the Applied Sciences, these are more scientific maps. So, you know, how does sort of an artistic map and artistic thinking about maps, how does that kind of come into your work?
I think as a graphic designer or as an artist, you try to contemplate things different, or you try to discover something,
uh-huh.
but you don't know what exactly. And I was sure that there is another way to depict the world, but as I said, I could not explain it. But when I talked about this principle to depict the world, I understood that it's just a ball or a ball surface. And there are different ways to transform this surface. I understood that, but I could not express it. So I think to discover new things or to find new things or to find ideas, that's a creative process. And we do that all the time. I do that when I design a logo or when I do an artistic piece. And I treat marginalized little things for very important and give them a lot of attention, or
right.
I don't know, something like that. So that helps me a lot, and it doesn't matter if it's for my graphic design, for my art, or for my research. It's always just a creative process.
Right, and so it's sort of helps you in that sort of creative unpacking, you know, because your project is really, you take the world map and you're questioning in some ways the dominance of the representation of the world. Can you remember growing up? I mean, was there really one standard world map that is so, can you remember that? Is that something, I mean, I certainly do. And you talked before about this positioning, what's in the center of the map. You know, I grew up in North America, so a lot of times North America might have been in the center. But because we're, many of us in North America have European ancestry, Europe might have been in the center, but more likely, more often than not, North America was. I mean, is that, you know, can you remember kind of seeing that same image over and over growing up?
I don't know when I saw it, but I'm sure that it came across 1,000 times during my life.
Right.
When I close my eyes and I think about a world map, or I think that's the same for most, for all of us. So we have like a conventional world map.
Yeah.
And this world map is like, in our case, for Europeans, it's like Eurocentered, and the equator is somewhere in the horizontal center, and we have always the same image proportion. So I think this world map is
it's kind of iconic, right?
Yes, the result of our conditioning.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, for sure. I think we do have all a kind of the same conventional world map in our mind.
Right. One of the sayings we like on the show is like, many of us, you know, we grow up, we have our grandmother's kitchen, and maybe grandmother's kitchen has a certain wallpaper, right? There's a design of her wallpaper. And we've been there so many times that if someone asked you, is there wallpaper, you probably could say yes. But when then someone says, describe it, it's actually quite difficult to describe because it's so, it's become naturalized. It's become part of just, we don't question it anymore. And I think, do you see that as kind of, I like to think of the world map, the conventional, and let's call it the conventional, and that might be, if we want to use some of the cartographic language, maybe like a Mercator projection or a Robinson projection, these different projections which are taking that round surface and turning it into a two-dimensional flat surface. We call those the projections. I mean, do you think that's those typical ones, the ones I just mentioned, maybe the Robinson one in the U.S. might be the number one looking, that's the way that most maps in high school classrooms and university classrooms in atlases, that's the one that most world maps look like. And is that, do we have to question that? I mean, is that really what you kind of came to, is this idea that we need to question this representation, this conventional representation of the world?
I mean, for sure we have to question which projection is used. But I mean, Robinson projection, it's a good projection, or a better projection when you compare it with Mercator projection.
Right.
But I mean, there is always also the question about the image center.
Yeah.
And I mean, what I try to do is to challenge that when you put another geographical area in the image center, that you have other distortions, and actually that gives you a completely other world view. So that's what I try to put in question.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we'll take a quick break now and come back in a second to talk with Yulia Mia about her project, the World Map Generator, which you can use online and do kind of the very same thing she's talking about, is shift the center of the map. But we'll go to a quick show ID and be right back. You're listening to Geographical Imaginations, radio expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. For more information about the show, check out the website at www.geographicalimaginations.org. Do you have an idea for an episode or want to give some feedback? Go to the comments section on the website or to the blog and enter into the conversation. Now let's get back to our expedition. All right. So we're back with Yulia Mia, and we want to talk about the world map generator. This is a huge project that you've taken on and that we can see online now. If you were to Google that, you would find the project site. Can you walk us through a little bit? You know, you talked about your sort of entry point with maps, so to speak, and then kind of asking yourself that big question, well, why? What are we doing with this conventional, the conventional world map, and what kind of worldview does that reproduce? How did the project itself sort of take off?
So the World Map Generator started as my first research project. So I worked with a great team. It was a mixture between software developers and creative minds and graphic designer. So for sure I had this, I wanted to make it understandable, this transformation from bowl surface to a flat map, but we wanted also to find a way to explain that transformation. So we developed three main characters.
Right.
That's Da Vinci, journalist, and the tourist. And there you have other contexts to generate your map.
The Da Vinci character. Mm-hmm. What can you do? I mean, I think each of the characters sort of has, there's an idea around each of them. The Da Vinci one is to, what is the main idea there?
I think that's the important character. So there is an abstraction of the globe and of the two-dimensional map.
Uh-huh.
And what we try to illustrate is that how you can shift the image center and how you can change the projection. We try to do that in this model or something like that, that you feel the transformation.
Yeah.
While you're moving the image center, it's not a scientific way to explain it. It should be understandable a bit more intuitively.
Right. I mean, it's completely linked in the sense there's no delay. You're not clicking on a button and having it refresh. You're moving the mouse, right? And seeing that center, like you're saying, shift at the very same time that you're moving the mouse. So you're completely engaged and feeling sort of in the driver's seat, so to speak, of the whole process. I mean, at once it sounds, it's this simple idea, but yet it's so powerful in some ways and so complex in the sense that you're breaking this idea that whatever place needs to be in the center of the map, which reinforces then a singular or a more narrow, maybe geographical imagination or a narrower way of thinking about the configuration of our world, which I don't know. I mean, is this something that we could dig deeper into and say, well, we can say the same about knowledge, and the map itself is sort of this representation of knowledge. I mean, do you go there with that, or what is your thinking there?
I mean, for sure, these unconventional world maps are depict always our idea of the world, the conventional world map depicts the idea or our construction of the world, and when we generate an unconventional world map, we deconstruct this idea of our worldview for sure. But I mean, in a first step, I'm convinced that when you generate an unconventional world map, your own world map, then you think about worldviews. But here first we try to make this process from ball surface to two-dimensional map very understandable.
Yeah.
Maybe you understand as well that you use a projection for that, but means that the mathematical algorithm, how you transform this surface to this two-dimensional map.
Uh-huh.
And then you start also to understand that there are distortions and why there are distortions. So I think that's in the beginning, and that's really the main thing what we wanted to explain.
Right.
And then this question with this worldview, I mean, anyhow, that happened when you look at an unconventional roadmap.
Right. I mean, so you have a number of different projections to choose from. So these algorithms, these mathematical sort of complex mathematical situations where the world then goes from round to flat. And how do you do that? There's a great visual for that if people are trying to think about that, like the taking an orange peel kind of and taking it off of the orange as a half, and then just flattening it, right? And then when you flatten it, it's mm-hmm. The peel is going to break in certain places, and so it's going to wind up distorting certain areas, and then maybe maintaining some integrity with others. But the different projections then allow you to, I think, maybe see that one projection, which might be part of many of the conventional maps we see, is only one of many. So one configuration is only one of many configurations of things that exist. You're calling this Da Vinci. This mode of the world map generator, or this character, is Da Vinci, and it's really this interactive platform where you get in there, you're moving things around. I mean, why Da Vinci? Is his era the Renaissance? Is this the beginnings of modern cartography? Is it an homage to the Renaissance?
For sure it is, and Da Vinci was a great inventor. But what Da Vinci is as well, he made a lot of new designs. He was a designer, he was a painter, but he was also a technician. So what we did here is, on this first side in Da Vinci, you can construct your world map. But when you go to the second step, you can design your world map, and we try to challenge the construction of the world map, but as well the design of the world map. And we did that. You can choose different color codes.
Right.
Maybe you can design a map against the normal color code, like the land mass in blue tones and the water mass in brown tones. And then you're really challenged to understand what's really land and what's water.
Uh-huh.
So that's where the name Da Vinci comes from.
Right. With all this choice, I mean, I guess the user is really a co-producer in some ways, or the producer, the actual, in some ways, the cartographer. I mean, obviously they're using the power of the software there and the project that you've developed. But do you think of, I've always thought of the power behind actually making a map. And how, I don't know, how eye-opening that is for someone to be able to then create some, here, like a representation of a place or a space, or in the case of your project, of the whole world, to be part of the process of creating that representation. I mean, do you see that as a sort of this empowering project?
Yeah, I think so, because I try to make it possible that everyone can make its own world map, what means it's its own subjective world map. So
yeah,
there is not one conventional world map, one standard. And the other thing, I mean, there is this critical cartography or this radical cartography or this counter mapping. They try to do that as well. And there is also the developing of the new technologies with the internet and all that, makes it possible to bring that to a big audience, and that everyone can be a cartographer and that everyone can generate its own world map. So yeah, that's what I try to do.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that is the kind of the era we're living in, is the tools of the cartographer have become, some people use the word democratized, meaning they're reaching now more people.
In one way that's true. We have more possibilities, but otherwise, when you see how often Google Maps is used, and when you zoom out and you see the world there, then we have a web Mercator projection with a very worse distortion, and nothing is new than in the 16th century. So. I don't know. I can't really say that this new technology just brought us progress.
Yeah.
Sometimes, but this Google technology, for example, it's even worse.
Right. I mean, do you think? Yeah. I mean, what is being communicated through Google? Is it? It's the. Do you see that as the? Just a nice, not a nicer, but a digital version of the same conventional map?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just the image proportions. It's also, everything is governed by this Google technology, also the interaction design, also how it looks like. I mean, I won't say that it's just bad. I just say that the whole variety of world maps is lost in a certain way.
Yeah. Do you have a, you know, there's a number of projections that you can choose from. Do you have a favorite? I mean, is there some one that you think?
Yeah, it changes always a bit, but at this time it's, since a long time, it's a Winkel Triple, actually.
All right. Is that, and mm-hmm. that's one of the choices on the map generator, or not so much?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Yeah. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And why? How come that one?
I mean, it's for sure it's a personal preference.
Yeah.
But I think I like the image proportions, and the distortions are okay, not like in a cylindric projection.
Uh-huh.
So I mean, it changes all the time a bit, but at this time it's really Winkel Triple.
I like to personally, I guess I like to see, there's another online tool, I think it's called True Size or something like that, and it shows mm-hmm. the true, you, I'm sure you know all these, the different sort of websites there, but you could look at, you could choose one country and then move it around and hover over other countries, and it'll match its true size and not the way the projection, actually, I think they probably use like a Robinson kind of projection or something like that, but it's not according to the projection. So you take, say, Russia or Canada, which you always get sort of, I mean, they're both the two biggest countries in area, but they look even bigger because they're in the northern latitudes, and that's where things get stretched out and distorted, the areas do. So you take Russia and actually bring it down towards the equator, and then it you know, in the exercise, it literally shrinks. So, or you take, or my favorite to show like students is to take, you know, we talk a lot about North America, and and I take, say, the United States and bring it into Africa, and all of a sudden it gets tucked into just Northern Africa, right? And everyone thinks, wow, is it really that small, or is Africa really that big? And the answer is yes. So the area part is, I think, what I like the best, is to be able to look at a map, a projection, or a map, a flat map, and see the closest representation of the area. I mean, do you like that, or do you like to have the distances? Do you like to have the poles at the right size? Do you have any preferences here?
No, I don't have one preference, because what I like is that you have, for every context, you have your roadmap, and when you want to depict the closest way, for example, then you can go to the application tourist, for example.
Right.
You can behave like a tourist, and then you can depict
a route between two places.
The route between two points, and also the closest distance, or the closest visualized distance.
Right.
So, no, I won't say that there is one best world map, one standard. So.
And I guess that's the power of having it online, is that you get to, with the world map generator, and this, I guess, for people listening, you could create your map and then download it, right? And you download it as, I don't remember, do you get a choice of different kinds of file formats?
No, it's
or
just
PDF?
PNG.
Yeah.
No, PNG.
Oh, okay, mm-hmm. PNG, right. And so you get to download it. And so if you're there, you know, the old school way of making a map, it's going to take you hours and hours to produce one, let's say. But here you are, you could quickly make one according to, like you're saying, the needs of the moment for that map, or for that representation of, like you said, either it's a distance or for some area comparison between two places or two countries, that you can do it on the fly, so to speak, and then download one. And then move and then change the map and then continue to create these. And that, I think that's the part of the power of the technology too, is to be able to make maps even faster.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. And I mean, you can also create maps by algorithms. So that's not the problem. The problem are patterns of looking at the world, or like conventions, and the problem is that we can't read or understand the world when it's depicted with another geographical area in the image center. That's the problem, not that there is, the technology is not good enough for it. So
yeah,
in my opinion, we should first learn to read unconventional world maps.
You're listening to Geographical Imaginations. Geographical Imaginations is a growing multimedia public geography initiative designed to bring academic and everyday geographical thinking together. We believe everybody is a geographer and a co-maker of spaces. As an inquiry-based project, we ask questions and explore themes through dialogues with different texts and voices. Inevitably, our explorations return to simple yet complex questions, like how does blank inform the way I picture the world in my head? And how does that picture in turn limit or expand my place in the world? The main focus of the project is this hour-long radio essay program, or radio essay expedition, that's broadcast monthly from Radio Fabrik in Salzburg, Austria. In each episode, we make brief expeditions into the geographies of everything and nothing. We reflect upon our relationships with the worlds we inhabit and co-create. While many of the episodes deal with local and regional topics, themes are somewhat universal, and our investigations could inform the geographical imaginations of those living anywhere in the world. Now let's get back to our episode. Okay, so let's go back to Yulia Mia as artist. Is this an, do you have an artist project too? Have you put up your work? Have you had a exhibition of your work, creating a range of non-conventional world maps?
I do my art and I exhibit it when there is an opportunity for it, but I won't force it. I just do it. And maybe when I'm 60 or something, I make a huge exhibition, but I want to force it, and I want to make, or I won't stay independent in what I'm doing.
So this is a real committed project to continually make unconventional world maps. I mean, is this something, a continuous project that you're working on even right now?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
The thing is, I mean, I can't stop. I just do it. I'm here in my studio place. I do art when I don't know what to do. When I don't have more ideas, then I change my field and I do something for research, and then I have new ideas and I go back to art. So I don't want really make this difference or this distinction between these two fields.
And yeah, right.
I just work with maps.
So multidisciplinary, yeah. Someone working with maps, yeah. I mean, it's kind of the Renaissance figure, right? To have the science, the
true
artist, the inventor. So you're inventing in many ways. You've invented an online platform for people to. I mean, I guess there's learning. Obviously, there's some learning there, but you're challenging then the worldview. But even just learning about projections is quite valuable for, you know, people interested in that. So you have that, you have the artist side developing a range of possible, do you think of them as possible world maps or just non-conventional?
What do you mean by possible world maps?
I don't know. I guess using the word possible, it suggests like you're proposing another configuration of the world.
Yeah, for sure. But what I mean, this unconventional world map, they are based on the conventional geometry, and I go on with this. So I do not invent like shapes of the world. That comes from the process, from the transformation from globe surface to the flat map.
Uh-huh.
So I do not invent this shape. So that's the principle of my work is always the same.
So it's still grounded, so to speak, in the actual physical geography of the world. You're not, these aren't, I guess to be clear to the listener, this isn't, you're not making sort of fantasy world maps. You're using the same projections that exist, but recentering and shifting them in different ways that will cause us, I guess, I think I don't know, learning theorists or maybe even psychologists call it this cognitive dissonance, right? It's like you shake up the way someone's so used to, like again, that idea of that wallpaper, you're shaking that up so that then they open their eyes to another possible, this is that word possible, I guess, is the other possibility. But you're doing it within the rules, so to speak, of the existing projections.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I really have to highlight that. I mean, the geophysics is not invented at all. It's in this, let's explain it like that. It's the conventional transformation process. What is new is just that you can combine any desired geographical area in the image center with any desired projection. So that's all.
Right. I want to go back to this idea of here you are, the user in front of this, the world map generator. And I know, we've talked about this a little bit. And I think I want to bring it back to kind of the theme of the show, which is this this idea of the geographical imagination and how, I guess, our working definition of that is all of those images, really, that we piece together in that collage that creates the world in which we live. And here today, we're talking about that very literally, the world map as one of those pieces that really shapes then the world for us, but then shapes how we think about it. And so I guess I'm curious, the user of the world map generator, I assume there's some people that really just get engaged with it and think it's really cool to kind of make their own maps. I also assume there's probably people that are learning about projections. I mean, I will use this next year in my intro to human geography class as a way of teaching projections, because I think it's important as a tool for that as well. What kind of feedback, or are you getting any feedback from the people using this, and what are they saying?
Yeah, first of all, I had more feedback as I thought that I ever have. So
really,
yeah, when people use it, they are really surprised how it looks like. So it is used, the world map generator is or was used until now quite often. And my explanation for that is I talk always about projections, and then I have two meanings for this projection. Uh-huh. That's this of this geometry, we talked about that.
Right.
And the other meaning is the projection in the sense of a world view, and that means to bring an inner subjective view of the world, or even of a construction of the world, to the outer world. So in this sense, we talk about just about a geographical imagination. So it's just an idea.
Yeah.
And then I think a lot about the construction of reality and how it is constructed. So, and you see that in our current world maps. So
yeah,
that's my framework or theoretical framework of my work, actually.
Yeah, I mean, in the feedback you're getting, the users, are you able to track? I'm assuming you probably have some kind of tracking of where they are. People from around the world, or has it been making it out there, or more so people in Switzerland? Or
for sure, the most visitors are from Switzerland, but there are also a lot from Australia or from North America, uh-huh. Also from Brazil. Actually, that surprises me. Yeah, it's more or less from around. No, it's not more or less. It is from around the world.
It is around the world. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I guess what kinds of things do people comment on? Do you ever do any sort of workshops? Have you worked with students in Switzerland? Is this something that you, I don't know, bring out to, like I mentioned before, I could see using this in a high school or an introductory level course in university as a tool. Is that something that you've been a part of, doing any sort of workshops?
I did some workshops, but then it's more like a model how you make a practical part of a theoretical idea, so how you can visualize a theoretical framework. So what I try with this is that I have a map, an unconventional world map, but this is the base for a whole theory, and you can read something out of this map. So that's what I try to explain as well.
Right. So it's kind of getting into the bigger questions there of why challenge the sort of the unconventional, why challenge the conventional with something? I mean, would you describe the underlying sort of driving force of your work is to offer up an unconventional representation of the world?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there are different ideas behind that. For sure, I would like to offer another worldview, but it's also an idea to show how you bring a practical part and the theoretical part together, or how you bring an artistic piece and cartography together. I mean, there are different points or ideas behind this work.
Yeah.
And maybe a main point is, I think that unfortunately this world nowadays, and we believe in this world map, is depicted very correct with correct georeferences and but excludes a lot of alternative ideas and realities and dimensions, and I think we should be aware of this fact as well.
Yeah.
So it does not mean that when the georeference is correct that the world is explained correctly. So there are 1,000 different forms to depict the world, and that changes also our world view.
Yeah, I get there's a famous sort of question, maybe you would think of it as a riddle or a puzzle, and it's a philosophical question, but it's also because it's talking about the map, and I'm sure maybe you've considered it. Is the map the territory?
I think the map is an idea of a geographical territory, the idea of the space and the world we live in. But as I said, there are so many different, or there are so many, many more, not spheres, but like dimensions. I mean, let's think about the Mappa Mundi from the Middle Ages.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at it the first time, you think, okay, they were not able to depict the world, or they did not know the perspective and the geophysics of the world. But when you really study it, then you see that they depicted much more as we do in our world maps, for example, different time layers or different perspectives, or it's very complex. So I just want to make clear that how we depict the world is just just one way to see the world, or the reality is just our construction in this moment at this time. But there are so many different ways to do it. Maybe we don't know them, but there are a lot of different ways.
So we've arrived at the end of another of our radio expeditions, and we want to thank Julia Mia Sterneman for really guiding us along the way here. Her work on the World Map Generator, no doubt, will, if you engage with it online at theworldmapgenerator.com, you'll have a great experience of kind of learning how projections work, but also envisioning and looking at what that looks like immediately, the world as seen with something different in the center. So we're so used to either Europe, or if you're listening from North America, as being sort of in the center of the map. Well, what if something else was in the center? What if Australia was there? Or what if Patagonia was there? And so then how would the world map look according still to the conventional geometry of the existing projections that we have at hand for our use. So she's helping us reimagine the world, not in any sort of fantastical way, but following the very same rules that we use by convention in modern cartography. And I think this is a very important thing for us to remember, that we're using the tools that have created a very hegemonic or very conventional way of seeing the world, and here we're speaking practically, the world map, and taking those same tools and suggesting or saying and proposing, well, here are all these other possibilities of seeing that very same world according to these very same sort of geometrical rules. So we want to, again, thank her for sharing her time and sharing her experience with this project, the World Map Generator. Again, as always, we want to thank Mike Allen for the musical accompaniment, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Ciao.